From college to wilderness. I went to college and it was awful. I was really excited about philosophy. I wanted the teacher to help me understand Slavoj Žižek. I spent countless hours listening to his nose issue, and I didn't get anything out of it. And I needed help separating Ayn Rand the philosopher, or maybe the woman, from Ayn Rand the politician. Even though Miss Rand would probably say it is impossible, I think her mind was too good for politics. There are just too many scoundrels in politics. The philosophy teacher only talked about Descartes and some trivial Boolean inference. Right before finals, a boy got up and asked, "Who is this Descartes guy?" He didn't know that Descartes is spelled D-S-C-A-R-T-E-S. The teacher failed us completely. There was nothing to learn in that class. It was just memorization. As to the logic, it would be brilliant to code up a little inference engine. We could all reason about it, extend it, and search for flaws. Walking away from a philosophy class with code for an expert system is the only way a philosophy teacher can show class these days. And that boy, he just does finals. He wasn't stupid. Because finals is what you do when you go to a school that does not teach. Pretending memorization is education and paying $500 for the course plus $200 for shit books is a lot worse than thinking Descartes and Descartes are two different people. That was the best class that college had. I took art to relax and just people watch instead. First time, I was painting Mona Lisas. I left some paint on the easel. The main teacher called me a pig behind my back. We had a substitute teacher just come in and linger for a bit, and her and I briefly spoke about education. She said teenagers are hormones. And I realized teachers are not just ripping us off. They're insulting us behind our backs too, because it's part of their friendship-making culture. She finally asked about my credentials, and I said, "I was a student once." Second time I took art, a couple of semesters down the road, the teacher that called me a pig was going to lecture. I told her I had a 4.0 that I wanted to protect, even though to me it was just a stupid game. I mentioned it because I assumed that she was unreliable, and she lit up with the words, "new assistant," or something like it. Not bloody likely. But I taught her how to use a wall projector. It was right there above her head. And I showed her how to do straight lines with acrylic. The trick to prevent paint from getting beneath the painter's tape on a canvas that's already bumpy from other layers of paint is to first leak paint in there on purpose beneath the tape. But the paint that you want to leak in there is of the same color that's already there. See, that's in order to seal the gap to fill those pockets. So if you want to paint a yellow square on a blue background, you tape off a square and then paint it the same color as the background that's already there. It seems pointless to paint the same color, but the paint is going to leak beneath the tape and seal it. And it won't be noticeable because it's the same color. Your yellow layer won't be able to leak beneath the tape because the blue sealed all the little holes. So you paint your yellow square and peel the tape. You will see some fresh blue paint that leaked under the tape, but no yellow leaks. You will have a square so sharp that you will wish it was a little bit crooked, because now all your other lines have to be equally as sharp. And that is a lot of work. She did not think to change the way she teaches, even though helping students with proportions would keep them in art probably forever. Instead, she thought the crooked figure was superior. She was pushing untrained students to doodle, and she'd grade that, where what they needed was help with proportion tools so that they could move past it and into tone and color, into art. A crooked, untrained figure says little about an artist, but grading it says quite a lot about the teacher. Grids, projectors, camera obscura, Vincent van Gogh's diamond frame doodad, image references in Krita, semi-transparent layers in other programs. Teach. They train the hand and the eye better than any teacher ever, ever will. I made the dean's list, or the list of people that make their college look legitimate, and especially those who are most likely to pay for more lectures. So I packed my backpack and had supreme, extreme adventures at the Nordhaus Wilderness in Michigan. I lived through powerful and deeply frightening storms. You just can't tell what's gonna come over the lake. What if it's a tornado or something? You're stuck in the middle of a little wilderness. Yeah, and there's no cell service there, or didn't used to be back then. I made many raccoon friends, and I named them all Friday. Maybe it was just one raccoon that was following me around. In which case, this worked out great. And there was a young philosopher, even. He was bicycling all the way out from Maine to try to deal with great tragedy and figure out what the hell was going on with his neurology. I told him we are not crafted to be perfect. Hell, even a computer isn't crafted to be perfect. We are magnificent burps of the complexity of universe. We are here out of accident and its fundamental principles, I paraphrased Gell-Mann. I think his mom was following him in his incredible, incredible adventure. Real extreme adventure. Probably with bicycle parts, maybe some trail mix. Certainly good advice when he needed it, but not help. This kid was riding on his own, sleeping in ditches and farmer fields. I saw them talk about what I said, slowly turning towards me under a shady tree from a distance. Maybe they went home after that. Our brains are not perfect. Sometimes an overload will occur. I hope they went home. He had his answer. There was nothing wrong with him. We just need to take good care of ourselves. Our brains need good care, like flowers, so that they may grow and flourish. We are not to live in sorrow and mourning. We are to learn and rise and aim to become great beings.